God was to me and what his promises were to me. And I got saved at Welcome Grove Baptist Church. It was VBS. It was on a Friday night. And there had been several people saved that week. And it's one of those things that I was actually, it's kind of an unusual place to get saved, but you can get saved anywhere. My sister got saved in a fire station. So, but I was laying there in the dark watching the slideshow from that week. It was the last day of VBS. And it's one of those things that just, I felt 8-year-old me knew what God was talking to him, saying, or talking to me, saying that I needed to get saved. And it was one of the most simple prayers. And looking back on it, it was from that moment on, I've even though I've doubted it, I've never actually doubted where I was going. I always had that. Even though I've doubted my salvation, there was always that feeling of that I've had since that day. And growing up, and I'm so thankful, and actually part of my big part of my testimony is 3 days later, I'm sure a lot of y'all know about it, but I got saved on that Friday, and that Monday, I was in a traumatic lawnmower accident, and I was in the hospital for 12 days, and I lost part of my foot. And it's one of those things, going through that, I always had something to lean back on that I just got saved, and it was a bright part of that story. Even though it was a hard time, it was always something bright I could go back into, and it was always, if I ever had a fear of like when that happened or like a flashback to the one that happened, I always had something to lean back onto. And then growing up past that, my testimony's always been a big part to me, and being able to share it, my testimony to other people. But I've always loved my testimony, how I've always had those things to flash back onto and fall back onto when the devil would try to get me down. Like I went through a period of time where that's where I doubted my salvation, like, bad. Like, it was, like, one of those things where I was like, my last point where I knew I was saved, but it was just everything was, I felt like was saying I wasn't when I was in the first place. And that was always something that I would always, even though I didn't think about it then, now looking back on it, on all the help that I had, went, and it shows that I was saved the whole time. And it was just the devil. And then the devil was trying to get me down, and that was back in May. And then in October, I announced my calling to preach, and it was just how much everything works out for God's glory and God's good, that when it all falls into place, when you don't see it, it's always, if you just trust in the Lord, everything works out for good. But so what I'm going to be, talking about, like my base point of what I'm going to be preaching off of, it's John 19:28, first verse is 28. And I had this idea, I heard God spoke to me and tell me this, like the idea for this sermon back in December. I was at Brother Mason's, he's over there. I was at his church, and it was on December they were having all the youth preachers in the church. He goes to Northside Baptist. All the preachers in the church, they were speaking on the cross in the month of December. And at that time, I was over at their church one Sunday night, and I heard God spoke to me and gave me the idea for this message. But it's on the cross. Even though Easter was last weekend, I feel like the cross is still something that should be remembered every day and every weekend and every Sunday of every year, because it's such a big part of you. I feel like a lot of people, like I do, I'm guilty of it. Like I'm with like getting ready for this message, I never actually, even though I've known the goodness of the cross and known the seriousness of the cross, I never have really sat there and thought about how big of own salvation, everybody's salvation that is, that how it's changed, and that's the reason we can have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and that's the reason we have eternal security, and we cannot doubt our salvation all in through the worst of the worst, even though if you're saved, you know where you're going when it's all over. So John 19, verse 28 says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon a sop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." So what I want to focus on that is, the most people probably know the story of Jesus dying on the cross, his stripes, from the cat of nine tails, all the crown of thorns, everything that he was put through brutally for you to die, and he was the only perfect person that's ever walked this planet. He walked the planet 2,023 years ago, and he was the only person that was ever born of a virgin, only person that was ever called the true Son of God, the only person that didn't have an earthly father, even though he technically did, but it wasn't his. DNA. It was the only person that was born of a virgin, like I said, and he was the only person that ever walked perfectly. He's the pinnacle of our salvation and Christ, and that is the reason he's called Christ, which is our Savior. He took every person of the sins, even though he was perfect, and every my sins, Barabbas's, the person that was freed on that cross, that should have been on that cross, took Judas that betrayed him, any person in this room sins, and took him to that cross and died for him, even though he did not have to at all. And the reason, and I guess it all comes back to, I heard somebody saying the other day that love is one of the most important things that the Lord has ever gave us. Because every part of our salvation is through love. If there was not love, none of us in here would be saved. Because there's no possible way that we could ever, any person that's ever this flesh that I have on my body, any person this room has on their body, could ever live a perfect life enough to get into heaven without needing anyone, without needing Jesus to die on that cross. And like he says in God's word, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no person will ever come to the Father except through him. And that's the only way. There's no way you can be perfect, nothing to get to Christ. But that brings me back to love. Is there's no way that any of this could ever happen with love, and that's the reason that he died on the cross for you. That he loved us enough that he saw our pain and he saw what we struggled with and he saw that we weren't perfect. But he said, I love Ty Merritt enough that I'm gonna take his sins at the cross, all that he'll ever do, past, present, and future, and die on that cross, even though he may not ever love me back, and he may not ever thank me for it, and he may not ever accept me for it. And that's one thing too. It's like when you look back into it, it's how can, even though we can't ever repay him by living a perfect life for him, because we're still flesh and we're human, but how can we worship him enough, and how can we do what he has called us to do to the best of our ability, even though we're going to fall short any time of the day. I fall short every day, even though we're going to fall short every day of the year, every week, every hour. There's still a way we can come back to him and do what he has called us to do and do what he has said in the Bible and try to walk in the law of the Lord the best we can. And just pay him back enough, even though what he did for us is greater than anything we could ever do. So if you go into, in 1 John, or 1 Samuel 2:30, I can find it here. He says, it says, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And esteem meaning liking. So that's it, and there's so many places across this Bible. I heard Brother Joe say it a few times, I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before last, that the Bible is so rich in anything. It talks about so many ways you can honor the Lord, and some of the ways you can always fall back on the Lord and trust the Lord. But it's just saying here that we're called to honor him in everything we do. And that's whether you go to the grocery store, you honor him in what you do. You don't live like, even though it's kind of, you may think just honoring him is just getting behind a pulpit and preaching or worshiping when you're in the house of the Lord, but it's throughout your everyday and every thought, taking it captive, bringing it into the obedience of the Lord, and just any way we possibly can, sharing it to others, being a light to each other. It's just like how you don't know who's watching. Like, non-believers don't read the Bible, they read you. And it's like, if you're honoring the Lord, you don't know who's sitting there watching that can pick up from something, and that may be what they need in the time of struggle. And one thing I really love about this verse is it's kind of like the draw near to me and I will draw near to you. It says, for them that honor me, I will also honor you. And that's what I love about the Bible, is like, and God's so faithful to you that no matter what you do, he's always going to honor you if you draw near to him. So, and just like in Psalm 119:1-2, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Just like, so in that, and one thing I love too is like how there's so much hope in every scripture of the Bible. Like where it says, blessed are the undefiled, where in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So as long as you're in, it also says down there, it says with their whole heart. As long as your heart is where it needs to be with God and you're walking the law of the Lord the best you can, and like I said, nobody's going to be perfect, so you're always going to fall short. But as long as your heart is with the Lord, you're always going to be, he's always going to want to bless you. And as long as you're trying your best, and as long as you're doing what you feel like you should be doing, or at least trying to, he's always going to want to bless you. And then that's one thing, too, that, like, I feel like some people may look at Christianity or look at following the Lord is you don't have your life anymore. Which you do have to, you do die to yourself, but that's, once you do, you have much more peace and blessings from that, because you're dying to, you're not dying to your personality, you're dying to your flesh. That the devil's trying to get you to put, that uses to pull you into everything and pull you into temptation. And if you do that, if you bring in, into the, and like, I feel like I was saying, when people look at it is, I'm not going to have the joy I have anymore. I'm not going to have fun because my whole life's going to be centered around this one person that I can't even, that I can't see, but I just have to have faith in. But when you do that, you have so much more peace, and you have so much more. Just like me, people were joking about it yesterday, but and I didn't even think I was going to bring it into it, but I kind of thought of what thought about it. So yesterday, I played baseball all through growing up, and yesterday I hit my first home run I ever hit, and like, but it's one of those things, like, it's cool to have that feeling of knowing that you can just jog around those bases and not have to worry about the ball getting back to you, and you just hit a home run. It's one thing that people talk about when you play baseball, but with all four bases that I touched and that feeling, when I rounded third, high-fived my coach, and my foot hit that home plate, I was still the same person that needed God's grace, and I was still the same person. And no matter how many people, I could have been at Truist Park with the whole, with a sold-out show, and no matter how many people were in that stadium calling my name and calling my number, I was still the same kid that needed God's grace, and I was still the same person. Amen. And I still, and that peace has no, those screams of my name and my number that I've had for my whole life, they would never amount to the peace that I have knowing that I'm God, know that I'm with the God, and the peace that God gives me, and the peace of knowing that where I go when I leave this place, if it's today or if it's 100 years from now, nothing will ever in this world will ever fulfill what you think you can have without God. Amen. And just like, and then that's one, and you don't, and that's one thing you don't understand. That's when my heart goes out to anyone that's never felt God's love or God's presence and never felt of what it really is to be at peace with God, because nothing in this world could ever, no matter what the devil says, nothing in this world could ever amount to the peace that God gives you and the feeling of his spirit on your life. And yes, there's things that make, and yes, there's things that are exciting in this world, but they're so much more exciting when you know that you're at peace with God, and you know, and you have that stacked on top of the peace. When yes, those screams of your name are cool, but you have those with the screams of God, and you know that you're also going to have those screams of your name when God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when you get to the gates of heaven, and not depart, and not, and you never have to hear, "Depart from me, you evildoer," and you get to spend your whole, you get to spend your eternity with God in heaven. And that's one thing. And two, I feel like it's anything you do when you're honoring the Lord is always going to help you. Like, anything you do when you're honoring the Lord and everything you do is going to help you draw near to him. But if you ever, one thing too, if you ever just like want to really know how to draw near and how to be the best version of you can be, and that's not the, I don't need anyone in this world. The best version of you is you with God and having in the perfect peace with God and trusting in God. And when something doesn't go your way, you don't even get mad anymore. You just have to trust that it's God's will and everything's going to work out for your good. And on my level, if you like this girl at school and she doesn't like you back, you just have, and you don't get mad about it, you just have to trust that something better is going to come, no matter how good you think that's going to be. And one thing too, like I said, with how to do what God has called you to do in the law of the Lord, it's you, and you can always fall back on his scripture and try to, and be, and too, with the way Jesus was, just like I like to bring you back to love, when he died on the cross for the love of everyone. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all things you do be done with love. Yeah. And it's just like that. God's love, that was literally, God was fulfilling that. He was in everything, in every single scream he let out, in every single cry he let out, in every single thing on that cross, and every single word that came out of his mouth, it was with love for us. Yeah. And just like that, like I already said, like, that's exactly what he did. And when he died for my sins, anyone in this room, Judas, which betrayed him, and Barabbas, which was on that cross, which was the person that should have been on that cross with Jesus. But just like us, I feel like a lot of people, Barabbas is one of those people in the Bible that's like, I guess, I don't know if it would be villain of the Bible, but he's the person that killed Jesus, or that let Jesus die on that cross pretty much. But, and that's if you think about it in the, shallow sense, but if you really get into it, anyone in this room is named Barabbas. Yeah. We're the reason, we are the person that was departed, or that was spared for Jesus to die on that cross. It could have been anyone on that, it could have been any of us in that crowd saying crucify. It could have been yelling, it could have been anyone in that crowd that was saying to free Barabbas and to kill Jesus. It could have been any of us. And then two, it's also like Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. It was two Sundays ago. It could have been any of us that were shouting Hosanna and then turned on the Lord the next day. Like, we can all be, if you're in this church house this morning, if you're in church this morning and you're worshiping the Lord, but then a day from now, it's on Monday and you're cussing up a storm at work. That's the same thing. You're still sinning, and you just have to turn from that and live your life all the time with the Lord, and everything you do be to honor the Lord. And just like in, and then John 1:6, if I can find it. Yeah, John 1:6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So when I was reading this, I didn't even have anything. I wasn't even planning on this, but I was studying last night, and I pulled out one of my Bible I had when I was a kid, and it was like a kid's study Bible. And I like to go back to that because it has highlights where it's like scripture on whatever you're trying to talk about. And I had wrote in the back of that, I was probably 7, 8, 9 when I had this Bible. And I remember it was before I ever thought that I'd ever be called to preach. I was always like, man, it'd be cool if I was like to have like sermons to write out and have a preacher. So I flipped out to the back and I was going to look at those last night when I pulled it out for a different reason. And I had 3 sermons that I had wrote down in the back of my Bible. And one of them was Are You Being a Light? And it was 1 John 1:6. I think it was actually 1 John 1:5-10. And then I read it wrong, and I went to the Gospel of John. And then it was like scripture that lined up with exactly what I was planning on talking about today, and it fit in perfectly. But it was, are you honoring everything? Is everything you do to honor the Lord? And are you being the light that he has called you to be? And are you, like it says, when he sent John to be a light to bear witness of the light. Like it says in verse 5, right before that, it said, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. That light is the light of the world. And if you are being in John's place that he has sent you to be, and you are being a light to in every situation you can, every possibility you can, that light that you're spreading, it's going to light up the world. And you wouldn't think that one person could change the world in this world that we have today, but it's not one person. It's one person with the God that made the world. Yes. And it's that true light that, and two, it all comes back to your peace too. Like, you're going to have, if you know that what you're doing is right, you're going to have the most peace you could possibly have. And it's one of those things of just knowing that you're doing the right thing and repaying the Lord. If that's what you're striving to be, and that's where your heart is, to walk in the law of the Lord and walk in the peace of the Lord, and if you live in a worldly view, you try to hold on to everything, and just everything seems like it doesn't go your way. But when you have peace with God and you're doing what God wants you to do, you have a whole different outlook on everything. You look at it as, it's not slipping out of my hands; it's God's taking it out of my hands to put something else better in my hands. And then two, and I'll admit, it's one of those things, especially as, and it's kind of hard for me because I only have one point of view as a 16-year-old, but it's hard. It's easy because you know who the Lord is and you know what's waiting for you on the other side, but it's hard with the temptation and the devil and the way the world is today. It is hard, but it is so worth it. Like, it is the peace that you feel after the storm, and you know that there is another in the fire, that was there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That person is still in the fire, and he has never left. That person is still there in this fire today, and he will be there. He will be with you for any fire you ever go through. And I promise you, it is so worth it. My heart goes out to anyone that has never felt the love of God and has never recognized it, and because they are hurting inside without the Lord that I serve. They need it through every day, and I could not imagine. And they may not have the temptation that the devil, may not have the guilt that the devil gives them when they have temptation, and they give into it. But I know that there's a missing piece. There will always be a cross-shaped hole inside their heart that they need to fill. And it is so worth it. And through those hard times, when you feel like everything, when the bullets are always coming down on you, and the devil is shooting his best shots and has his best army coming around to you. Just like the one scripture that I love is the Lord is, I don't even actually know the whole scripture, but it's the Lord is my shield. That's one scripture that's like, I probably quote 100 times a day. It's always like, it's just so peace. It's like so comforting to me. And that's also Joshua 1. That was one of those things I was studying last night, and it just kind of came up to me. It's a bookmark that my Nana gave me when I got baptized, and it was in one of my drawers, but it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So no matter how hard, no matter how hot that fire gets, no matter how hard it is to serve your Savior in the midst of trouble, no matter how it looks, no matter what you're doing, and the Lord says it's not about in the good book, I don't know exactly the way it's quoted, but the Lord isn't based on your feelings. We're human. We have imperfect feelings. We get mad, we get sad, we get angry, but it's what the Word says. Your thoughts and your mind and your emotions are never going to change is what the Lord is. The Lord's always with you. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, He's always going to help you, and He's always going to get through. And every single thing, which way you turn out of this parking lot, is going to play into your life, and you're going to play into your God's will, and where you end up, and who you end up witnessing to, and who you're in front of. So just take that. Everything you do is your chance to spread the gospel and spread the word of God and spread the goodness of Jesus Christ and the goodness of God, because you don't know who's looking and who's hurting, and the best thing you can do by honoring the Lord for him dying for you on the cross is to fall back into His word and try your best to make everything that aligns with you. And in the midst of trouble, you have to lean back on Scripture, just like Joshua 1:9. And then another one is Psalms 46:1. It's God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. So when your mountain is being shaken, when your mountain has been thrown into the sea, when the earth is removed from your life and from your situation, you think a mountain is just right in front of you, or you think the ground's shaking, and the ground you're shaking on, and you think you're about to fall through it, God is always there with you. And even though it looks bad, God knows what He's doing. And I was thinking about it the other day too, is like, God has never stressed, because the only reason we ever stress is because we don't know how something's about to work out. But God literally knows what's going to happen from a thousand years from now. He doesn't have to stress about what the next move is, because He has enough wisdom, and He knows about what's going to happen. So He's not stressing. He's literally leaned back in an easy chair on a Sunday afternoon. He's just waiting, and He knows how everything's going to work out, and you just have to trust in Him, and you can have that peace that God is sitting there waiting for you. And God's sitting there, and if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you can have that peace, and He's living inside your heart. But if you've not, I promise you, nothing will ever be more important than accepting Christ as your Savior. You can do it today. You can get saved in a car. You can get saved going down the road. You can get saved in a deer stand. You can get saved in this altar. God is with you anywhere, and God has not ran from you. He's where you left Him. He's always one step away, and just turn back around and run back to God. And one thing too that I was going to kind of leave y'all with today is when you look at a cross, that symbolizes something to you. For me, every time I look at a cross, it it's a burden on my heart because I know that my sin caused that. But you also had the peace that God doesn't care. God forgives you for every sin you've ever had, and that was His gift to you. But in your life, are you living a life that glorifies Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ the Lord, who took your sins to that cross and took every single beating and every single crown and every single nail through those hands and legs and every single thorn on that crown, and He took your sins and died on that cross for them? Are you living a life that glorifies the sin that did everything to your Lord and Savior? And that's one thing. And I went through my notes very fast. But if I can leave you with one thing, it's try every day, everything you do, to glorify the Lord. And like He says, that God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but through the world that He might be saved. He doesn't care how far you are. No way is ever too far gone, no matter what the devil tells you. He's not there to condemn you. He's just like condemning is trying to make you feel like you're worthless and nothing. He's not there. He's there to convict you and make you turn, which is conviction is good, and He is trying to help you turn and live a better life with Him. So, and as long as your heart is in it and you're doing enough, no matter how many times you fail a day, if you always run back to the Lord, He's calling you back. And he's always there for you, waiting for you. And if Luke, you ready to bring a song? But if you take one thing with you today, is God's already done everything that there needs to be done. All you have to do is three little words: I love you and I need you. And there's no one prayer that you have to say word for word. It's a prayer from the heart that's just saying that, Lord, I know what you did. I know what I did, and I'm wrong, and I want to repent from those. And I pray, God, that you would forgive me, and I'm sorry for all my sins. And if you would accept me, I want to live in your kingdom forever. And if you would just come in my heart, and Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to live with me forever. Will you save me? And there's no one way to say it, and there's no one way to do it, but it's just a simple prayer from the heart. And another thing, if you are saved, is try to live for the Jesus Christ that died on the cross, not the sins that killed your Jesus Christ. And again, He's not there. He's not here to condemn you. He's not here to make you feel bad, but He's here to love you and show you that everything's going to be okay. And I promise you that if you trust in the Lord and you trust in God, that nothing in this world can ever amount to the feeling and the peace and the joy you will always have. In the midst of the fire, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of whatever's going on in your school, in the midst of whatever's going on in your family, in the midst of whatever's going on in this world, you feel like everybody has turned from you and you feel like there's nobody in 1,000 miles that cares about you. There's somebody in your heart, and there's somebody standing right beside you. And even when the footprint, you feel like God's not with you, and the footprints have went away, and there's only one, and He was walking with you, but now you only see one set of footprints. That's because that's when you need Him most, and He's carrying you through everything. Yes. Thank you all.
Greatly appreciate the youth and Brother Ty speaking. Yes. We're going to give an invitation, so we want to ask you if you would to rise to your feet. I know you just stood up and sat down. I'm sorry. But you know, we don't ever want to come into the house of the Lord and not give somebody an opportunity. Amen. To take advantage of what God is trying to give them.